Well, over half of all real estate battles are, won or lost before a physical handshake even
Oh,
happens.
absolutely.
I mean, if you're operating in this industry, your most valuable property isn't like a four-bedroom colonial with a wraparound porch. It's actually a 6-inch glowing screen in your client's hand.
That is so true.
Right. So today we're taking a deep dive into a really comprehensive playbook on real estate SEO for agents and brokers. We are going to extract the exact strategies you can use to gain online visibility, attract buyers, and generate leads without just endlessly pouring money into paid ads.
Which nobody wants to do.
Exactly. And the source material today really brings the receipts. It points out a staggering 52% of buyers find the home they eventually purchase online. Yeah, and 70% are using a mobile or tablet device during that search. So digital curb appeal is, basically the only curb appeal that matters now.
I mean, the digital shift in this industry, it isn't just approaching anymore. It has fully materialized. Like, if you aren't visible in those mobile search results, you effectively do not exist to a massive portion of your potential market.
Okay, let's unpack this because I can see you're already furiously taking notes over
I
there.
am, I am.
We know the stakes are high, but the term SEO or, search engine optimization, it can feel incredibly vast to anyone who isn't like a full-time software engineer.
It sounds super technical.
Yeah.
But I think the key is realizing that real estate agents are playing a fundamentally different game than most other industries.
How so?
Well, in e-commerce, for example, you're fighting a national or even a global battle for attention, right? But real estate SEO is almost exclusively local.
Oh, I see, because nobody is firing up a search engine just looking to buy a house, anywhere on planet Earth.
They type in a specific city, a specific neighborhood, or even a highly specific school district.
Right.
So the foundational concept we really have to master is the massive difference between national SEO and local SEO. And this brings us to a metric called keyword difficulty, or KD.
Keyword difficulty, got it.
KD. It essentially estimates how hard it is to rank for a specific search term on a scale from 0 to 100.
Okay, so let me pose a challenge that I imagine a lot of independent agents are feeling right now. I'm looking at massive billion-dollar platforms like Zillow, Realtor.com, Redfin.
Oh, yeah, the giants.
Right, they absolutely dominate the internet. Their keyword difficulty for broad terms like, homes for sale, that must be completely
Oh,
insurmountable.
it's off the charts.
So if these giants are taking up all the oxygen in the room, it feels like a local boutique trying to fight a massive international big box store. Like, why even bother?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that boutique analogy is actually the perfect lens for this. You don't beat a big box store on raw inventory, you know?
Right, you can't outstock them.
Exactly. You beat them by knowing the neighborhood inside and out, knowing the customers by name, and having the specific insights that the locals actually want. The guide makes it explicitly clear that individual agents shouldn't waste time or resources competing with Zillow for broad, high-volume keywords.
So you basically don't fight them on their turf. You shrink the battlefield.
You focus entirely on hyper-local, long-tail searches. So, for example, a search for homes for sale in the Oak Creek School District.
Right, very specific.
That has a fraction of the search volume compared to just a generic search for homes for sale. But the value of that traffic is astronomically higher.
Oh, because of the intent.
Think about the psychology of the person behind the keyboard. Someone typing a highly specific local phrase, they aren't just casually browsing. They're actively preparing to buy or sell in that exact location.
For a high intent qualified lead. So you are effectively filtering out the window shoppers by targeting the hyper specific pain points of serious buyers. You don't need like a million random visitors to your website. You just need the 50 visitors who are actually moving to your specific zip code next month.
And capturing those 50 specific people, it actually starts before they even reach your website.
Wait, really?
It begins with what is arguably the most essential free tool available for local authority, which is the Google Business Profile, or GBP.
Ah, the GBP.
This platform powers your presence in Google Search, Google Maps, and that highly coveted local pack.
The local, that's the map and the top three business listings that show up at the top of a search, right?
That dominates the top of location-based searches.
You know, the source material highlights a really surprising piece of data from Bright Local regarding these profiles.
Oh, about the individual agents.
Yes. A lot of agents working under a massive corporate brokerage, they just assume they're supposed to rely on the main office's profile. Like, oh, the brokerage has one, I'm covered.
Right. Which is a huge missed opportunity.
Because individual eligible agents can often maintain their own Google business profile, completely independent of the brokerage.
It's brilliant because both the brokerage and the individual agent can appear in those local search results. You're effectively doubling the chances of capturing that lead for the office.
Wow, so claiming that profile is step one.
Step one, for sure. But the critical next step is filling out every single section accurately. Your hours, your specific service areas, and most importantly, your NAP.
NAP, so that's name, address, and phone number.
Yep. The rule for NAP is absolute ruthless consistency.
Ruthless consistency.
I mean it. Search engines look for what are called local citations. A citation is any time your business's NAP is mentioned online.
Anywhere online.
Any directory. Your own website, your Google business profile, local chamber of commerce directories, or even platforms like Zillow. The algorithm uses these citations as a verification mechanism to confirm that you are, you know, a real, operational, trustworthy business.
You know, it makes total sense when you think about the underlying mechanism. It's almost like giving a delivery driver three slightly different street addresses for the very same house.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Like if you tell them it's on Main Street on one site, Main Saint with a period on another, and Main Highway on a third, the driver, or Google in this case, is going to get totally confused.
Exactly. And a confused search engine doesn't guess. It just refuses to rank you because it cannot verify the data.
So that lack of data integrity is just a ranking killer.
A total killer. But consistency alone isn't enough to prove you're reliable. Google looks for third-party validation too.
Oh, reviews.
Yep. Which is why your closing process absolutely must include a mandate for client reviews. The guide stresses that reviews shouldn't be something you just passively hope for.
Right, you can't just cross your fingers.
No, after every successful transaction, you have to ask the client for an honest review on your Google business profile.
The guide is very strict about a practice called review gating, though. I found that super interesting.
Oh, yeah. Review gating is a big no-no.
For you listening, review gating is the practice of selectively sending review links only to your happiest clients while, you know, conveniently ignoring the ones who had a slightly bumpy experience.
Google's guidelines explicitly forbid this. You are required to ask everyone.
Everyone.
Yes. What? And more importantly, you must respond to every review publicly, even the bad ones.
Mm.
Especially the bad ones.
Because when you respond to a negative review professionally and constructively, you're sending a massive trust signal to potential clients and to the algorithm.
Exactly. You show you are engaged and accountable, which Google loves.
Okay, so let's assume an agent has done all of this off-page work perfectly, right? The Google business profile is optimized. The NAP is identical across the entire web. The reviews are authentic and managed.
The foundation is set.
Right. Eventually, a potential client is going to click the link and land on the agent's actual website. But if they just land on a generic About Me page, I assume all that localized goodwill just evaporates.
Poof. Gone. And unfortunately, many real estate websites fall flat precisely because of that.
Really?
Yeah, agents often publish just a single generic service areas page that lists like 10 different cities they work in. From a structural SEO perspective, that is entirely too shallow.
It's just a list.
Right. Search engines and users both demand depth. The strategy requires building dedicated location pages for every single neighborhood or community you serve.
So instead of a bulleted list of towns, you are building mini hubs for each specific area.
Yes, and you aren't just slapping the city name at the top of a template. You need to populate these pages with rich local market data.
Like what kind of data?
You detail the commute options, you review the local parks, you explain what daily life is actually like there, stuff only a local would know.
Okay, and then you have to structure how a user navigates between all these hubs, which the guide refers to as internal linking, or creating a site silo.
Right. The best way to understand internal linking is to think of it as a voting system.
A voting system.
Yeah, every time you link from one page on your site to another, you are casting a vote of confidence that tells the search engine, hey, this page is important.
Oh, I see.
So if you link your neighborhood pages to the active listings in that area and link those listings back to the profiles of the agents who specialize there, you're distributing that voting power.
which is often called link equity.
Exactly. You're distributing that link equity throughout your site.
You are essentially building a map for the search engine crawlers so they understand the hierarchy of your expertise, which is why the guide warns so heavily against orphan pages.
Orphan pages are the worst. An orphan page has literally zero internal links pointing to it.
So it receives no votes from the rest of your website.
Zero votes. If a human can't find it by clicking through your site's navigation, a search engine crawler is going to have an incredibly hard time discovering it, let alone assigning it any ranking value.
To populate these interconnected pages, the guide pushes really heavily for local buyer and seller guides, and specifically local FAQ pages.
Yes, the FAQs are huge.
I gotta be honest, I read that section and immediately wondered if anyone actually sits down to read an FAQ about real estate. I mean, it sounds incredibly dry.
Well, answering generic questions like, what is an appraisal? Or what are closing costs? Yeah, that is dry. And frankly, major financial websites already dominate those search results anyway.
So you shouldn't bother with those.
Right. The power lies in hyperlocal FAQs.
Okay, give me an example.
Instead of writing, what are property taxes? You write a detailed answer for, what are the specific property taxes for homes in the Oak Creek School District?
Oh, so by answering hyper-specific local questions based on local data, rather than broad national housing trends, you are capturing that high-intent traffic we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Think about it. The only person typing that highly specific question into a search engine is someone actively running the math to see if they can afford to move to that exact neighborhood.
Wow. Yeah. You've answered their specific problem, and in doing so, positioned yourself as the undeniable local expert.
It works like a charm.
Okay, let's zoom in even closer. We've gone from the broad local strategy to the website structure, and now let's look at the absolute most heavily trafficked pages on any real estate site.
The property listings themselves.
Yes, this is where visual SEO takes center stage.
It's all about the visuals. The guide actually cites data from the National Association of Realtors, stating that 81% of buyers rate listing photos as the most useful feature in their search.
81%, that's massive.
Visuals are the ultimate hook. But from a technical SEO standpoint, those beautiful high-resolution photos can completely destroy your page speed.
Oh, because the files are too big.
Exactly. The guide emphasizes the absolute necessity of compressing your images before uploading them.
Because if your listing page takes, like, 10 seconds to load on a mobile device because the image files are massive, the buyer is just going to bounce back to the search result.
And search engines track that bounce rate. They will penalize you for providing a poor user experience.
Right.
It's also about how search engines interpret those visuals, too. I mean, crawlers cannot look at a photo and appreciate the crown molding or the natural light, right?
To see code.
Exactly. They rely on alt text, which is a hidden description of the image in the HTML, to understand the context. A really lazy approach is labeling an image simply, you know, living room.
That tells the algorithm absolutely nothing. A descriptive alt text should read something like, modern living room with hardwood floors in downtown Austin home.
Yes. You are feeding the crawler the exact long tail keywords you want to rank for.
The guide also mentions video walkthroughs and 3D tours, right?
Yeah, and not just because they are visually impressive. It's because they drastically increase a metric called dwell time, or time on page.
So if a user spends 5 minutes interacting with a 3D tour, the algorithm registers that your page is highly engaging and valuable.
Exactly. All of this ties into a broader concept of feeding structured data to search engines, which is commonly known as schema markup.
Schema markup? That sounds intimidating.
It does, but it's basically just a standardized vocabulary of code. Instead of hoping Google's algorithm successfully guesses which string of numbers on your page is the price and which is the square footage, you use specific real estate listing or product schema to definitively label the data.
So it's like putting a highly detailed nutrition label on your web page for the search engine to read.
That's a perfect analogy.
And the execution of this isn't as intimidating as it sounds. For you listening?
Yeah.
Most modern real estate website platforms or, you know, basic SEO plugins, they have settings where you just toggle this on or paste in a tiny snippet of code and it handles the translation for you.
Super easy.
But here's where it gets really interesting to me. The guide outlines a strategy for what happens after a property sells. Because the instinct for most agents is, hey, the house is sold. I don't need this listing anymore. I'm just going to hit delete.
Oh, man. Deleting a sold listing is one of the most fatal flaws you can make in real estate SEO.
Really? A fatal flaw?
Yes. When you delete a page, any user or crawler trying to visit it hits a 404 error. It's a dead end.
So throwing that page away is like throwing away a winning lottery ticket. I mean, while that house was on the market, that specific URL was building up search visibility, generating traffic, and maybe even earning backlinks from local news sites or community boards.
It accumulated real SEO authority.
So if you hit delete, all that value just vanishes instantly.
Oof.
The guide's unbreakable rule is to never delete a sold listing. You use a 301 redirect.
What's fascinating here is how a 301 redirect functions at the server level. It's a permanent instruction that automatically sends the user and the search engine crawler from the old URL to a new active URL.
And it passes the value along.
Yes, it passes roughly 99% of that accumulated link equity to the new destination.
Wow. So you redirect the sold listing back to the main neighborhood hub page, or maybe to a very similar active listing nearby. You are preserving all that SEO wealth and keeping it circulating within your site's ecosystem, even as your physical inventory constantly shifts.
It's so powerful. And all of these technical mechanisms, the 301 redirects, the schema markup, the descriptive alt text, the hyperlocal FAQs, they are all foundational requirements for the final and perhaps most crucial evolution discussed in this guide.
Right, because the web isn't just being navigated by humans or traditional search crawlers anymore.
Not at all.
We have fully entered the era of AI search.
Yeah, AI overviews and AI-powered search engines are fundamentally changing how information is extracted and presented. We are transitioning from traditional SEO to AEO, answer engine optimization.
AEO. And the guide points out that AI heavily favors an answer-first structure, which is also known as bottom line up front.
Exactly. When a user asks a question, the AI wants to grab a clear, concise answer immediately to synthesize for the searcher.
So how do you structure that?
Well, in your content, you must answer the core question directly in the very first sentence of the section.
Oh, right away.
Right away. You then use the subsequent paragraphs to add context, specific local examples, and depth. But if you bury the actual answer at the bottom of a 500-word page, the AI crawler is just going to skip over you entirely.
It all comes back to a framework Google explicitly uses to evaluate content, known as EEAT, experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
The holy grail of content evaluation.
Right. It's no longer about stuffing keywords into a paragraph. It's about proving to the algorithm that you have real-world experience and legitimate professional authority.
This raises an important question about how you, the listener, consume information today versus even just 5 years ago.
Yeah, think about it.
You rarely want a list of 10 blue links anymore, right? You want a synthesized, trustworthy answer. If an agent wants to be the source material that AI uses to generate that answer, their digital presence must be structured to be effortlessly understood and implicitly trusted by the machine.
Which means ruthlessly avoiding the fatal flaws the guide explicitly warns against. Things that completely destroy your EEAT trust score.
There are a few big ones.
The most common being MLS syndication laziness.
Oh, that one drives me crazy. When an agent just copy-pastes the exact same property description that is already syndicated on dozens of other massive real estate platforms.
Why is that so bad?
Because they are destroying the originality aspect of their content. Google looks at that duplicated text and determines there is absolutely no value in ranking your page because it already has that exact paragraph indexed 50 other times on faster, larger websites.
Wow. So you have to rewrite the description. You have to inject that unique local context, the nearby parks, the community vibe that only you, the boots on the ground expert, actually know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the guide warns against other manipulations too, like buying backlinks from unrelated low quality websites. Search engines will flag that instantly.
Or technical blunders like accidental noindex tags, which is basically a piece of code that literally tells search engines to ignore your page entirely.
Yeah, that happens more often than you'd think.
Yeah.
And we also need a quick reality check on the timelines involved here.
Right, this isn't magic.
No. The guide is incredibly upfront. SEO is not a paid ad campaign where you turn it on and get leads tomorrow.
It takes time.
It requires a sustained commitment of 3 to 6 months of consistent optimization, technical hygiene, and content creation to begin seeing a real return on investment.
Which is why the guide notes that if you are managing multiple offices, dealing with deep technical debt on an old legacy website, or simply don't have the hours to dedicate, it might be time to bring in a specialized agency rather than trying to juggle it all in-house.
Yeah, it's an investment in digital infrastructure.
Yeah.
Building the foundation takes time, but once it is established, it generates high-intent traffic long after you hit publish.
So what does this all mean? If we distill this entire deep dive down to its core essence, real estate SEO is ultimately about claiming your digital neighborhood.
I love that phrase.
It's about structuring your website so that the technical backend, the 301 redirects, the structured schema code, the compressed images, it all acts as a frictionless highway for crawlers. And it's about answering highly specific local questions so authentically that both human buyers and AI search engines instantly recognize your undeniable local authority.
You know, the beauty of this framework is that the principle of hyperlocal authority is universally powerful.
It really is.
Whether you are a real estate agent prepping for your Monday marketing meeting or a curious listener figuring out how to apply these local SEO lessons to a neighborhood bakery, a specialized law firm, or even a plumbing business.
The mechanics are the same.
The underlying mechanics of digital trust remain exactly the same. You prove you know your specific neighborhood better than the giant national platforms ever could.
You win on specialization and authenticity.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with a thought to mull over. Something that isn't explicitly spelled out in the guide, but feels like the inevitable next step of everything we've discussed today.
Ooh, okay, let's hear it.
As AI search engines become increasingly capable of providing instant, hyper-local answers about property data, commute times, and tax rates, Will the future of real estate rely less on an agent's ability to simply locate properties?
And more on what?
And rely almost entirely on how the AI evaluates the digital trustworthiness and unique human experience of the agent themselves.
Wow. Moving from searching for the house to the algorithm searching for the most trustworthy human to guide you through the house.
Exactly.
That completely changes how you view your digital presence. It's not just an online brochure anymore. It is your professional reputation codified into structured data for the algorithm to judge.
It really is.
It turns out that digital real estate might just be the most important foundation you ever pour.
Well said.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Go claim your digital neighborhood, and we'll catch you next time.